For argument is United States versus England. Mr. Mickert.
May it please the court. My name is Tom Mickert, and along with co-counsel, represent the defendant appellant, David England. Your honors, Mr. England was charged with and convicted of using threats of physical force against a witness. Yet, due to an error in the sentencing guidelines, the district court has continued to sentence Mr. England.
The problem I think you have, not necessarily in super broad, but the problem is that the Judge Reinhardt was very explicit that even if the lower guideline applies, he would give the same sentence on the basis of, you know, he's observed the defendant, he thinks he would have killed, you know, someone, and so that's, so I don't see how that error in the guidelines makes any difference.
Well, Your Honor, it leads to a disparity problem. The fact that Mr. England is sentenced in accordance with 2A2.1 leads to an advisory guideline range of 210 to 262 months. Under 2J1.2, which now the Sentencing Commission has stated should apply to convictions for the use of threats of physical force, it leads to an advisory guideline range of 92 to 115 months.
Now, but to challenge a disparity sentence, you have to show some similarly situated defendant who's sentenced much lower, and the judge went through a long discussion of what was seemingly unique about this fellow. Now, maybe there are others who are just as bad, spit in their lawyers' faces and so on, and get much lighter sentences, and that would be a good evidence. But I don't think you have anything of that sort, do you?
Well, Your Honor, in finding that there was no unwarranted disparity here, the district court relied on a finding that it made, that had Mr. England been out on bond pending the original felon in possession charge, he would have committed the offense of attempted murder. This, Your Honor, is a total speculation by the district court.
That argument, I understand. That's a separate argument. It has nothing to do with disparities. That has nothing to do with disparity.
Well, Your Honor.
Yeah, it is. It's a separate argument. I mean, it may be a good argument in that the district court goes off on a fairly long chain of speculative inferences, and whether that's a sufficient factual basis for the choice of a sentence. But I don't think that's, I agree with Judge Posner, that's not a disparity argument necessarily.
Well, Your Honor.
I have a broad question for you, though. Judge Reinhardt reads our opinion held that it was correct, it was not an error to rely on 2A2.1, says you need to think more carefully about 3553A6 in particular. And so he goes on for pages thinking about 3553A6. And what I'm having trouble imagining is, if I were to rule for you, what does the opinion say? I mean, what did Judge Reinhardt actually do wrong, other than pick a sentence that, I will grant you, if 2J 1.2 were correct, it's double, you know, the range. But we didn't say that the first time around. We said it was correct to use 2A 2.1. And it would still be correct to use 2A 2.1. It's just that we now have more choices in the index. We haven't substituted one for the other. So I'm just, how do we say he did something wrong?
Well, it goes, the district court stated that it found that there was no disparity problem here because Mr. England was more in line with someone who might.
Right, and he says, I have to choose on this spectrum. I know I've got this possible referent, maybe, you know, or at least he hypothetically thought 2J 1.2. I've got this other, you know, where is Mr. England? And he looks at Mr. England's behavior, which frankly isn't so great. You know, maybe the long chain was too long, but he thinks, I think you're much closer to the 2A 2.1 end of the spectrum, so that I'm going to give you the bottom of that range, but I'm going to use that range.
Your Honor, the statements that Mr. England made are deplorable, and they can't be defended, but that's what they are. They're statements. There's nothing behind these actions that would have given the district court reason to hold that Mr. England would have committed an attempted murder.
So you're saying that were we to rule for you, our opinion would have to say something like the district judge based his new choice of sentence on pure speculation with no factual basis, therefore it was an abuse of discretion? Is that it?
Well, it is an abuse of discretion. As Your Honor pointed out, the district court was required to
Why
find...
Why don't you just agree with Judge Wood?
Well, I do agree, Your Honor.
I agree. That's fine.
I agree,
Let
Your Honor.
Let me ask you this. What is the maximum sentence to which it could have been imposed on him as a matter of statute?
There were four counts, Your Honor, and each of them were 10 years, so it would be 40 years.
40?
Yes.
Could have had consecutive sentences up to 40 years?
Under 5G 1.2, yes, Your Honor.
So he didn't get the maximum.
He didn't get the maximum, Your Honor, but he's still being sentenced as an attempted murderer, which is a crime that he was never charged with, never convicted of, and there's no evidence in
that
the record.
That comes back to the issue of whether his reasoning was too speculative, right?
Yes, Your Honor. The district court based its disparity analysis, finding that there was no unwarranted disparity.
Forget the disparity, would you? That's not the issue. If, in fact, this person is the equivalent of an attempted murder and it's just luck that he didn't, then there wouldn't be a disparity.
If Mr. England would...
If the judge is completely right about this person's propensities, then there wouldn't be a disparate sentence. It would be a fine sentence.
Yeah, provided that there was...
You're saying there needs to be supporting... I mean, you should be saying anyway that there needs to be supporting evidence.
Exactly, Your Honor, and the district court here used pure speculation.
And the evidence here, you had argued in your brief, is that at least all the people closest to Mr. England, including Mr. Bull and the father and everybody else, described him as kind of a blowhard, you know, lots of threats but no execution.
Yes, there's no actions behind these threats or in furtherance of the threats. Mr. England's family has repeatedly testified that they do not feel threatened by Mr. England, that they know he was just blowing off steam in this case, and that he would never go to the lengths of attempted murder or any further crime. And Mr. England's criminal history itself, he only has one adult conviction, which involved the use of physical force, which he received probation for when he was 17 years old.
And what was that for? Was that a battery?
It was a battery, Your Honor, when someone came to Mr. England's family's house threatening his family with a brick. Nevertheless, that is the only adult conviction for Mr. England. Using physical force. There's simply no basis in the record for the district court speculation here.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Mallory?
Good morning, Your Honor. Monica Mallory for the United States. I guess I'll begin by discussing the judge's decision to stay within the range dictated by 2A2.1, and I would argue that it was not based on speculation.
But there's one paragraph in his order. It's Appendix 23 and transcript page number seems to be 71. Strikes me as wholly speculative. He just kind of starts imagining a chain of events, and he doesn't ground it particularly in anything Mr. England's done in the past, in anything that any of the witnesses said about how to interpret what he was doing in these phone calls that he was making. And the difference is huge. The difference, I mean, it doubles the range.
It does double the range.
And that's what worries me. I mean, we say all the time that sentences within a properly calculated guideline range are presumptively reasonable, and it's a rare one that you find that presumption rebutted. But this is a troublesome set of facts.
Well, my reading of the record is that the judge found that he was more like the attempted murderer by looking at all of his conduct.
What's the base? I mean, there's a danger, Cora. I mean, it's pretty basic to our system, that you don't imprison people just on the basis of a surmise from talking to them or something like that. They're likely to become violent at some point. So how old is he now?
He's probably around 25 or 26 at this point. And I don't agree that the judge surmised that just based on his statements. He looked at all of the conduct, beginning with the possession of the weapon. That individual charge, the initial charge, is based on...
200 million people possess weapons.
I'm not talking about the possession. I'm talking about what occurred during that event. These are the things the judge factored into that conclusion.
But he breaks the car window, and you had to file a supplemental letter saying that you've kind of exaggerated what he was doing. I mean, I think reading this record, looks like he was waving it around more than he was doing anything else.
I corrected the record, and here's the correction. There are two incidents that occurred in August and September related to his gun possession. In August, two witnesses testified that he ran out of the bushes, approached a victim on a porch, and pointed the weapon at his head. Those were two witnesses. They did testify to that. Four witnesses testified that in September, he had a gun as well and came to them and attempted by, the reports were, waving the gun, showing it in his waistband, placing it on his knee, attempted to convince one of the victims to admit to something. Now, that is the correct factual statement of the record. Now, those are the kinds of behaviors with a gun that Judge Reinhart started with on his analysis as to classifying Mr. England closer to the attempted murder. And then they went from there.
But he he actually says that he believes that that England might have killed four witnesses.
He does believe that.
That's a little extravagant, isn't it?
It's in the record. The threats are in the record. He may have only been charged with tampering with evidence, attempting to get...
But can a judge just say, well, this was a threat. I think it was a credible threat. So I'm going to sentence him as an attempted murderer?
I mean, imagine yourself as the state's attorney trying to prosecute an attempted murder based on what's gone on. You would never bring that case.
No, you would not.
Because you couldn't even win that one by a preponderance, much less beyond a reasonable doubt.
No, you would not. But Judge
Ryan... And so if you can't win it by a preponderance, then how can you sentence by a preponderance?
Because you're not sentencing based on just that. Judge Reinhart chose to classify him closer to an attempted murder and then find that that range at 2A, 2.1 was an appropriate range to keep him in by looking at a series of phone calls that went on for 4 months where he threatened every witness in the case, every law enforcement officer in the case, his family members, attempted to have...
The ratio of threats to killing people is high.
Excuse me? I'm sorry.
The ratio of threats to killing people is high.
I'm certain it is, but when you saw this defendant's conduct, the continuation of the conduct, the court drew the conclusion...
I think the judge was influenced a lot by just his courtroom antics.
Well, they were certainly part of, I'm sure, the factors. He was in front of this judge probably more than the judge might have ever experienced any other defendant. A lot of time together. And there were antics.
For Judge Reinhart, he's been on the bench a long time, but maybe a lot.
A lot.
I'm sure Mr. England doesn't wear well either, so...
That's true, Your Honor. but I believe the record is clear also that the judge pointed out that even though there may have been those incidences in court, that was his job to absorb. You know, whether he was insulted by anything the defendant did, he absorbed that. And he said that on the record. He found by his conduct, the charged conduct, the conduct in court, and the criminal record, which is really more than what the defense counsel today has explained.
Well, what if he said, what if he said, I think you would have threatened the witness. In fact, I think you would have killed them. And therefore, I'm going to sentence you as a murderer. I'll give you the 40 years. Would that be okay?
I don't agree that would be okay.
Why not?
Because I don't believe he had sufficient...
I don't understand. The logic of it is he says he would have stopped at nothing, including shooting,
right,
to stop the four witnesses. So the only question is, would all of the four have bowed to his threats? Or would one of them have stood out? They would have killed him. So why does the judge say, well, chances are one of them probably wouldn't have taken the threat seriously, and then England would have killed him, so I'm going to sentence him as a murderer.
Because I don't think he could sentence him as a murderer. He applied 2A 2.1. He applied 2A 2.1.
So he could have sentenced him as a murderer.
No, I don't believe he could have. Because he could not select that guideline based on the facts of the charged conduct. He could not select that guideline. That was in the group that he had available to him.
He can go up, though, to the statutory maximum.
Right.
He could depart upward.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant.
That's the point.
Yeah. That's for the 40 years.
Right, and he'd have to justify that, and I don't
believe... Well, justify it. He'd just add a sentence to what he said.
I don't think he had the facts to justify that.
What's the facts? He doesn't have any facts. He just has a speculation. The next speculation is, yeah, one of these four witnesses would have would have resisted and he would have killed them.
What I believe he
had. Who are the four witnesses, by the way? Are they sweeties or what?
Well, the defendant would disagree that they're sweeties. They were the four people on the porch, acquaintances of his.
Are they men or women?
Two women, two men.
Oh, I don't know. There's men. They may not knuckle under the threat, so...
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
The men may not knuckle under two purely verbal threats. He may have to shoot them.
He may have to.
Well?
Here's what I guess I want to try to explain my position to the court. What Judge Reinhart concluded when he decided that the defendant should stay within the range governed by 2A to 2.1 before he applied the factors was that the course of conduct he saw in the defendant, his repeated efforts to try and get that threat out through his father.
Was that the effort to obtain some sort of professional opinion from the probation service as to whether a person of this sort would have been likely to try to kill someone?
Not that. He was examined and the conclusion...
So it's just the judge. It's just the judge, you know, as amateur...
I don't agree.
...predictor of recidivism and analyst of violence and so on.
I don't agree
because... amateurish.
In his opinion, you'll see where he referenced that report that was done, a psychological report. He pointed out that the finding was that England had an antisocial personality disorder and selected to act that way by choice. And so that the judge considered
very
dangerous.
That's a wonderfully garbled statement, I hope you understand. You have a disorder and you're acting by choice. What do you mean? You decided to have a disorder?
Disorder is perhaps the wrong word. He was antisocial. His behavior was antisocial.
Is it a disorder that causes him to do things, or it's just a...
The finding was that he...
The antisocial disorder. That didn't add anything.
Disorder is probably the wrong word.
It's a bad person. He doesn't like people. And he's certainly verbally violent.
Verbally violent.
Now, where's the expert evidence that connects being obnoxious, verbal violence, spitting at your lawyer, all this stuff, to shooting at people?
There's no expert evidence to that effect,
but
there's...
Would that be useful?
It would be, but there's evidence in his criminal background, one of the factors that the judge considered, that he does threaten people. The police reports underlying his arrests and convictions.
Well, you could draw the exact opposite inference. You could say this guy, instead of just, you know, rubbing out a witness or something like that, he's just threatens them. That's what he does. He's a threatener. He's not a doer. He's a talker. Why isn't that inference as plausible as the inference that he's to kill people?
I think it's not plausible based on the totality of his record, because you see the earlier incidences involve threats, things like bats, that sort of thing, having a gun but not using it.
Mallory, is your response to because at the time of the resentencing, the commission had submitted the amendment to 2J1.1, you know, and covering the threat of physical force against a witness?
As to how that should be treated?
Yeah, how that should be treated. Because that's a 92-115, right?
Right. And the judge recognized...
How does this not seem to fall right in that category? I'm now speaking about, you know, the presumption of reasonableness argument.
Right. Well, the judge recognized that he should view the amendment, the proposed amendment, and that range was established. And he actually factored whether or not, based on the conduct of this defendant, all of his conduct, he should remain in that range. He stated on the record that if that were the range, he would consider a departure upward, bringing us back into the range we're at.
But the problem is it's so many months from 115 all the way up to 210. He could say, I would consider going up, but for all I know, he'd rest at 180 or something, a different number, and that certainly would make a difference to Mr. England, I presume.
Yes, it would. And at this point, I don't know where he would depart upward to, but he did recognize that he could do that if that guideline applied. If we were in a different time frame and the offense took place.
Well, but at the time of resentencing, we were...
But that's not the... At resentencing, the guidelines in effect at the original sentencing have to apply according to 3742, and he stuck with that. And I believe he really did attempt to fashion a sentence that recognized, despite being stuck with that, he would look at the conduct of the defendant, and he saw...
He was precluded from considering going down to the 92 to 115, right?
He could depart however he felt. He just could not say that particular guideline applied. He just couldn't say that.
He didn't. You think the record reflects adequately that the judge took into consideration the new view of the commission?
Yes, but I don't agree with the defense that the commission has lined out for us that that guideline applies to that offense. They just put it into the group for us, and we're still left with some decision.
What if the probation report said this person fits the profile of a sex offender, hasn't actually done anything, but we've noticed, you know, as the profile. Would the judge be permitted to use that as a factor in sentencing? Could he said, well, you know, I have this guy, and I decide how long a sentence to give, and I'm going to add on a period. I'm going to add on a sentence because, you know, that'll give the public more protection against the possibility that he might commit a sex offense. Would that be proper?
I don't believe so, but I have never had the opportunity to research or brief something like that type of situation.
That's the question, whether you can jack up a person's sentence because you believe he will commit a different crime. Not that he'll repeat this crime, more threats, but you actually believe he's going to commit a different crime.
This is the point I really need to make clear. I think the judge took great pains to point out that he's not saying he would commit the different crime. He's saying his behavior and the way he is now beginning to use that gun would have led to a murder, a death. This is where he was headed. That the gun and the use of the gun is what the judge was starting to see as an important thing that needed to be deterred for this defendant, and that he wasn't accepting, obviously.
But of course, that's built into the definition of attempted murder, right?
What is?
Use the notion that en route and interrupted, right? Mm-hmm. So an attempt offense, you have to take a substantial step toward completion. Then you're interrupted or you make a mistake and it's not achieved. And then we say, well, the fact you took the substantial step shows that you're a dangerous person, so you get punished. You're pushing it back a step, or Judge Reinhardt is pushing back a step and saying, if you take a substantial step toward the substantial step, then we're going to punish you as if you had taken the second step, right?
We're going to keep you in that guideline range. Then we're going to apply the factors.
No. What I'm saying, I think, is correct. A substantial... What he's saying is it wasn't attempted murder, but which would be a substantial step toward murder.
Right.
It was a substantial step toward a substantial step.
Right. Toward a
think that's
murder.
Permissible?
He needs to sentence him based on his conduct. And that is his conduct.
That's a different crime. It's called threats, right?
Right. And
they have attempted murder. That's one crime. It doesn't satisfy the elements of it.
Right.
He wasn't punished for that. He's punished for a separate crime, threats. But the judge thinks it's like attempted murder.
He is like the attempted
so
murderer.
He's punishing him for attempted murder, but he's attenuated the elements of attempted murder.
I don't think he's punishing him for attempted murder, Your Honor.
He's punishing him,
in a guideline range that would apply to an attempted murder. He is like that.
He's punishing him as an attempted murderer. That's what you do when you punish someone in a guideline range.
For all of his conduct, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And Mr. Mick, do you have anything further? Okay.
Your Honors, first on this notion that 2J1.2 may not be an applicable guideline even after the 2008 amendments, the Sentencing Commission explicitly stated that 2J1.2 was being added for convictions for the use of threats of physical force when it proposed the guidelines in January of 2008. Also, under 1B1.2, the district court must apply the guideline most closely to the charged conduct that the defendant was convicted of, which here was clearly the threat of physical force against a witness. Second, as to the district court's speculation, at the original sentencing hearing, the district court stated that this was a mere threat. It was not an attempt that could have been charged. Nowhere there did the district court, right after trial, find that Mr. England would have committed an attempted murder. And lastly, Your Honors, Mr. England asked to get a psychological evaluation before the sentencing hearing, but was denied by the district court. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much to both counsel, and the court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.